हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर शिवसरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। ओके सो सत्प्रिय सर दीपिका प्रभुपाद गोस्वामी then on the Upanayanam Samskar, and so now we've just finished the part where the water's been poured into the what do you call it? Into it for the Acharya and the child, right? So now they're making commitments, because the whole idea in the Vedic culture is you pour water, and that's like signing a contract. It's so the pouring of the water actually makes it work. So then in here, the Acharya then has testified to the character of the child, and that that everything may go smoothly, to the ultimate goal, developing love for Krishna, or at least advancing. Like that, he should have the child say, "I have come to accept the vow of Brahmacharya. Please initiate me." Right? So he's attested that he has the character. The Brahmacharya then has made the vow that he wants to do this. The Acharya asks, "What is your name?" The boy should say, "My name is." The child and the Acharya should pour water from their hands, right? So then you have the, some kind of either the pot or something, and then they pour into that. Acharya should hold the right hand and thumb of the child in his right hand and say, right, so that means it's the same. You kind of, like what you say, you have you're holding the hand and the thumb like that, kind of like what do you call it? That one kind of handshake where you hold the thumb. Like that. And then he should say, "In this activity of Vishnu, I grasp your hand with the arms of Narayana and Vasudeva, with the hands of Sankarsana." Right, so this activity of Vishnu, so we see the arms of Narayana, because he maintains everybody, and Vasudeva, because he sees that the action goes on. Narayana is protecting everybody. Vasudeva is then of the is the Abhideya aspect, and then Sankarshan is then with knowledge. So it's arms of that protection and that surrender to the Lord, and Vasudeva means the application in proper service, but the hands, what gets it done, the work, is actually Sankarshan, is knowledge, that proper understanding of who you are, your relationship with the Lord, relationship with the material world, with the Lord, your relationship with the material world, and on that basis, then you perform an action. Otherwise, then it's not about sentiment here. We see that there is that faith, that commitment, but it's not based on sentiment. Right? Because here, if there's knowledge, then with your religious action, right? So Narayana and Vasudeva, then there won't be sentiment or fanaticism. Right? Then he says, "May Vishnu take your hand. May Narayana and Mahavishnu take your hand. May Mukunda and Prabhavishnu take your hand. By this action, you are a friend. Vishnu is your teacher." Right? So again, we see is that this element where we're doing these, especially in these major samskars, we saw it in the wedding, and now we're seeing it here, is that the Vishnu, he's saying here, Vishnu is your teacher. Like in the wedding, that the girl belongs to Vishnu. It's not that, yeah, no, it's now it's done. It's me. I'm the man. He's my student, and all this kind of thing. Yeah, one is in working in the capacity as the teacher, that they're the student, but actually Vishnu's the teacher. He's the one teaching. So that's why you have to teach in line with what Vishnu would want. You can't just make up your own educational system, because training has to be in line with that. Like it says, don't become a parent or other varieties of authority if you can't save the child from death. And the only way you save from death is Krishna consciousness. If you actually establish yourself, you know, firmly fixed in Krishna consciousness, then you can cross over the material ocean. That's the dude. That's what you're trying to attain. So whether you're training yourself, whether you're getting others to do like that, like the parents, I mean, in the beginning, they're training themselves, then the teacher does. So that it's the same thing. It's about Vishnu. So now the teacher, it's not that now he's just their student. He's also that same path that the parents are committed to. He's also then assisting in that. Like that. By this action, you are a friend. So that means then, you know, then the relationship is like you see Sakyam in the nine process. Devotion means that you're taking the mood of the Lord, that what he wants done, then you do that. So you're learning, you're engaged in whatever he wants it done. And so then you're moving forward in that way. You know, Vishnu, then it's going to be that everything's established and maintained. Narayan is giving the shelter. Mahavishnu, he's overseeing the whole creation. Mukunda, he gives liberation. That this Prabhavishnu, I'm not exactly sure what the meaning is of Prabhavishnu. Vishnu's Sahasranam has Vishnave, Prabhavishnave in it. So there's some aspect to do with that. The acharya should then circumambulate the child and then face east, while saying, turn the child following the strides of Vishnu. You know, so that means, you know, whatever he's doing, may it move in the way that it's following the strides of Vishnu. Charuji, you say something? Or? No? Okay. Turn the child following the strides of Vishnu. So it's just you turn it, when you're doing something with something, there's always going to be movement. So let that movement be there for following the strides of Vishnu. So how Krishna goes, his path that he sets, like we see Krishna went to the Gurukul, how he set the example, how Krishna lived his life, how the devotees following Krishna, how the acharyas following Krishna, like that. The acharya should then touch the right shoulder of the child with his right hand and then lower the hand to the child's uncovered navel, saying, you are the knot of the life heirs. Do not become loosened. Achyuta, to you I give this child. Right? Because the knot of life heirs is in the navel. Right? That region, that chakra where all the heirs are held together. If that lets go, then you're finished. Right? You know, that's where everything's held together. The heirs may sit in the heart, but in their influence on the body and holding everything together, that's going to be in the navel. So here, achyuta means infallible, that nothing should go wrong, so the knot of life air should stay, because it's much easier to practice your, you know, menial service as a student of the Vedas if you're still in the body. You leave the body really hard to do that, right? So hold the life airs together, and also then the life airs are the movements, so then if they're all controlled, they'll be engaged in the proper way, like we saw following the strides of Vishnu. Touching above the navel, the acharya should say, oh, Narayana, to you I give this child. Right? So he's the shelter, he's giving, you know, the nourishment and all those things. Touching the child's heart, he should say, oh, Janardana, to you I give this child. So Janardana means, Jana means all the people, so who protects everybody. Touching the child's right shoulder with his right hand, he should say, to Vishnu, Prajapati, I give you this child. So Krishna is protecting, he is taking care, he's the support in the way of that he's maintaining everything. And Prajapati, that means things expand in this way, so therefore then, you know, the activities, the knowledge, the prosperity, everything will soon expand. Touching the child's left shoulder with his left hand, he should say, to Vishnu, to Damodar, I give you this child. Okay, then Damodar then has that aspect of that devotion and everything. So that you have all these things, that everything's there, the life airs are being controlled, you know, are being controlled. Narayan is giving that support. Janardhan is the Lord of the living entities, Prajapati, everything may expand, but it's also, the point is Damodar. So following the strides of Vishnu, it's all about that interaction with the Lord, so that devotion to the Lord. He should address the child saying, you are a brahmachari. The acharya should order the brahmachari, put wood on the fire. So put wood on the fire, that's the Vedic indication that one is willing to do service. So put wood on the fire, it would be like and because in the Vedic, then the sacrifice is done through the fire yajna. And so you're putting wood on the fire. So that means you're maintaining the fire. So by putting wood on the fire, you're always maintaining sacrifice. You're always maintaining yajna. So you should always be engaged in sacrifice. So then the brahmacharya will reply, I will. The acharya orders, drink water for purification. Achmana, right? So it means, in other words, maintain purity. Of all the different aspects, purity, the achmana is the essence. Other things are done, but without the achmana, it doesn't become fully complete for performance of sacrifice. So therefore, he'll always be engaged by, you know, actually being comfortable to perform service, have that surrendered mood to perform service. He will always maintain himself in purity. The child should reply, I will. Acharya orders, do your work. So then in sacrifice, then you have a particular nature. So within that, you're doing something specific, right? It means you have the service, but you're doing something specific, right? So like everybody's taking part in their in the, you know, social context that's there, but then they have specific service, you know, or they're, everyone's working in the temple for the Sankirtan Yajna, but then they're doing their specific service, right? So don't be lazy. Don't just think, well, I've surrendered to Krishna. Now it's up to Krishna to do our work. Child should say, I will. The acharya orders, refrain from sleeping in the daytime, right? So then refraining from sleeping in the daytime means you don't waste time. The day is for doing your service. The night is for sleeping. Like you see some, many times they're sleeping in the day and then staying up to 10, 11 o'clock, chanting their rounds. Idea, no. Sleep at night, chant your rounds in the day. Right? You don't waste your time. Though Ayurveda mentions in the summer months, you know, that April, May, when it's really, really hot before the rains, that time then if one is takes a little rest in the afternoon because it's so hot, that's all right. Because generally one will go to bed later, get up earlier. So the time won't be lost. But other times, then it's one tries to avoid. The child should reply, I will. The acharya should go and sit on the north side of the fire facing east upon kusa with tips facing north. Child should face the acharya and kneel with right knee touching the ground upon kusa trips. Kusa with tips facing north. The acharya should wrap the child's waist three times with a belt of three strands of kusa by walking around him three times in a clockwise direction. So three times, that goes around three times. The Varaha Griha Sutras say the triple belt symbolizes the brahmacharya is always surrounded by the three Vedas, Sthana, Yajur, and Rig. Right? So that's what the three going times around are. Okay. Then, kusa. According to some authorities, the Brahmana's waist belt is from kusa grass with triple cords, Kshatriya's from Murva fibers, and Vaishya's from hempen threads. Right? So then, since we're doing this, that sounds like we said before, is that the general rule is that these kind of things would generally be done in the home by the family, because that's the standard thing. They're going to do this anyway, so accordingly they would be following whatever is their tradition. But otherwise, then we as devotees, then through the pancharatrik process, by chanting Hare Krishna and taking part in the pancharatrik process, the what do you call it, purvascharya vidhi, then we become in this way qualified to take up these brahminical activities. So our being situated in this and be taking part in this is basically coming from the process of Bhagavat and Pancharatrik vidhi, not from the Vedic. So therefore, I mean, Vedic can give backwards purification, but the actual dynamic element, we can take it up. So that's why then the Vaishnavas are known as the perfect Brahmins, because Brahmin means he knows Brahman. So he's serving Brahman. So that's the whole point of this whole thing. So therefore, we ourselves are using the Brahminical standards and everything that are here. So that's why, as you know, the average age of the Brahmin is at 8 years old, depending on serious, a very serious, very qualified, could be as early as 5, and up to 16. If they haven't gone by 16, then it doesn't apply. So then with this also goes, then the stick will be the brahmachari, I mean, the Brahmin size, will use the grass, you know, the chudder, all these different things will be based off the Brahminical. He should make the child say, "This belt is the consort of the Lord, pure and auspicious, like a sister freeing and protecting one from bad words and acts. It preserves the purity of one's varna, bringing strength for inhaling and exhaling breath. I have obtained this belt," right? So the child is saying this, right? So it's not just the acharya saying, otherwise the child may not be paying attention, right? But so then being the consort of the Lord means it's functioning in his capacity, pure and auspicious, like a sister, right? Freeing, protecting one from bad words and acts. So these sisters, then they're, because they're going to be at girdles, then they're always generally always going to be situated in religious mentality like that. And then with a brother, they're always going to be kind of, you know, the natural thing is that there's element of instructing or controlling or some way trying to refine the nature of the brother. Like that preserves the purity of the varna. Then if you're performing proper acts, gives strength for inhaling and exhaling breath. By performing religion, you could take part nicely in religion. So in other words, to maintain his purity in brahmacharya and to move forward in spiritual life, then he has obtained the belt. Then the second verse, "This belt is the protector of truth, the greatest wealth of austerity, which prevents injury and causes victory over enemies. O secret belt of fortune, please surround me completely. As your wearers, may we not bring harm to you." Right, so then pointing at these as that, okay, here's protector of truth, right? Because proper action will protect the truth, because then we will be able to see it that way. Others will be able to see it that way. Of course, the truth is independent because truth is Krishna. But as far as our approach and others' approach, then if we behave properly and others then see this, they'll be inspired, they'll behave properly. So everything will be nice. Greatest wealth of austerity, right? Then truth means of austerities, the greatest wealth is then knowledge. Like you see, is this knowledge and renunciation. This is the wealth of the Brahmins, right? Others' wealth is something else like that. The Kshatriya's wealth is his influence, you know, so therefore his word must be protected. The Vaishya's, his wealth, you know, meaning money, monetary gain, and that you can tell he's rich because of his facilities. Right, the Kshatriya, you can see he's rich because of his influence. So even if he's a smaller king, but if he's more influential, he is actually more powerful. You know, the Brahmin, he's detached, he has knowledge. That's going to be, it doesn't matter. These other, if they have wealth, that's nice, but you're looking for the character. Vaishya, he's talking big and that, but he doesn't have money. What's the meaning? Right? Like that. And which prevents injury and causes victory over enemies. So injury is going to be injury to one's progression in spiritual life. Attacked by the enemies, the six enemies, lust, anger, greed, like this. And so then, and victory over the enemy. So then one is, doesn't get harmed by these. One is conquerous over them. And secret belt of fortune, because it's not something that's, you know, it's the belt you wear. You have your cloth over it. So no one really sees it. No one thinks about it. Please surround me completely so that one's completely absorbed in following the tenets of the Vedas and the essence of that as the Pancharatra and the Bhagavad. So as your wares, may we not bring harm to you. May we not bring bad name to, you know, the Brahminical path and practice and behavior like that. Charya should take the sacred thread, saying, you are the sacred thread for sacrifice. I tie you with this thread for the purpose of performing sacrifices, right? So the sacred thread is for sacrifice. That's what it's for. It's not for something else. It's not for prestige. So the people, you know, have the thread, they're, you know, it's a prestigious thing. And that's not what it's for. That's not the point. It's not about showing that you're socially superior or like that. It's about performing sacrifice. You saw before, the first vow of the brahmachari is put wood on the fire. That's the whole thing. Menial servants. So that means it is about that. It's not how are you prestigious and you're a menial servant, right? So we see is that, you know, like they're brahmacharis, so then they're all good friends in that. It doesn't matter their background. Krishna is a kshatriya. Sudama Vipra is a brahmana, but they're all getting along very well. And when they go out, they're begging, so there's no prestige there either. So this idea that, you know, getting that upanayanam, you know, then you have your prestige and then you're the cool dude and all that, that's not what it's for. He should place the thread on the child's left shoulder and under the right arm, saying, the sacred thread is most pure, born at the time of the appearance of the Lord, long before. Put on this shining white thread, bestowing long life. Let there be strength and energy. Right, so the thread is pure because it appears along with the Lord, because Lord means that the Lord is sacrifice, and that, and so therefore then the sacrifice itself and the qualifications and the performance of these are also born along with the Lord. And so then they're most pure, right? And put on the, and it comes long before. It's not something new, and it's not something that, oh, it gets archaic, it gets old. Like this idea that, oh, you know, all these old things you can't do now, times have changed and all that. No. Lord's eternal, his sacrifice is eternal. So it always goes on. It's long before. Not, you know, in recent times. You know, we're talking about this has always been there. And so these principles, one has to appreciate that these things are they never get old like that. So, one shouldn't judge things based on one's own concept of the time factor. Shining white thread, so white means purity, right? Shining, that it's brilliant, you know, and brilliant comes from action. When you perform the action and get the response, then there's that brilliance like that. Like Krishna, he is, you know, the origin of everything. Brahman is coming from him. It's his effulgence and all this and that. So we'll say effulgence. This element of the brilliance, that's coming when he interacts with the devotees. And that, and the happiness he gets from that interaction, that's ujjwala. That's brilliance, right? Bestowing long life, right? Because then long life means in service to the Lord. Then life is eternal. You don't get better than that, right? And on the material platform, by performance of sacrifice, you get everything you require and maintain, so then life while you're here is long. Let there be strength and energy. So strength, once, you know, committed, you know, has that thing, one knows what one's position is, one's committed to that, and the energy then one applies that one wants to do these things. The acharya should place the deer skin in the child's hand and make him say. So then the deer skin that we have here, footnote 2, the deer skin was of practical use in forest life. It was used by the brahmacharis as an upper garment to keep the rain off and as an asana to sit and meditate. As snakes would not disturb him, as they disliked the subtle smell of the skin. The hairs of the skin hurt their scales. Brahmanas would wear the skin of the black buck, which is not different from Vermont. So that's the black buck. They're one kind of antelope, right? Their horns kind of have that twisty, and it's just a single long pointy, you know, one on each side. It's not the multiple ones like that. Kshatriyas would wear the skin of a spotted antelope, and Vaishyas wear the skin of a he-goat. However, some texts substitute the animal skin with a new cloth. You know, so since, so we're using the new cloth because, you know, one, where do you get these, proper quality in that, people using them properly? I mean, as you see, as it is, in the school of the brahmacharis, you give them new cloth, and in a couple of days, you can start collecting it around the gurukul and put it back in the godown for whenever it, you know, they lose it, and it takes them days to figure out that they lose it. Then they come and say, oh, I've lost my, you know, like this. So then at the next time they give things out next week, then he can go and see if he can find his one. Otherwise, he gave out someone else's to him because it's, yeah. So, yeah, not worth it. And so then, and it would, you know, it would be, they would be there. The snakes, you sit on it, doesn't thing. You could also rest on it. You could use, you cover yourself with it. It keeps you warmer. It keeps off the rain. So you'd have many, many uses of it. So very practical. It kind of does all kind of things. So then here's a new cloth. So then the child will say, what does it say? The child, make him say, I am giving you this deer skin, which is the light of the sun, the presiding Lord, strength, energy, and fame, eternal and effulgent, chaste, giving valor, giving long life. I'm not sure here. It says, place and make him say, but then he's saying in the first verse, I'm giving you. So there must be either the verses about the Acharya saying or something there or here, one of the other needs to be adjusted. The child should put on the deer skin and folding his head, we were saying about here, the light of the sun, right? So the light of the sun, that's knowledge. It gives, it shows the way. It shows, that means it comes up in the morning, you know, it gives light. It gives you know, inspiration to the world and also like that. The presiding Lord, strength, energy, and fame, right? So if there's strength, there's energy, it's consistent in knowledge, right? Then there's fame, that means eternal and effulgent, right? So that brings about that. So then one also becomes the natural qualities of the Lord. Chaste, giving valor, giving long life. Chaste means then you're focused on what it is you're doing. You're chaste to what it is, that commitment to studying the Veda, serving the Lord, giving valor, giving long life. Sorry, valor is, you know, that one sees the good, you know, the one acts on good qualities. One forms action because it's the right thing to do. Giving long life, you know, again, taking you back to the spiritual world and hereby because of the acts of religious piety, naturally life will be as long as whatever it's supposed to be. The child should put on the deer skin and folding his hands should stand in front of the Acharya saying, teach me, sir, please recite to me the Gayatri Mantra. The Acharya should make the child recite each phrase three times, right? So you can break up the mantra. You're saying, you know, because it has three parts, you know, of eight syllables each. So the first eight syllables, then you say that three times, then the next one three times, then the next one, because they get used to hearing the sound, because overall you forget it, so you say it. That footnote, that's here, okay. Then Charya should make the child repeat the following two phrases three times each. So then you put together the first two and chant those together three times each, three times together. Then you do the third pada three times like that. And then that, because it's easier to remember what's in the beginning, the last you forget. So that's why you add the first two together and not the last. And then you do all three padas together three times. And then having done that, he's done the part of that. Then he does the Maha Vyaharitis, the Purva Bhuva Swa. And then you chant the whole thing together three times with the Burbuva Swa. So then that's let us meditate on the worshipable effulgence of the divine sun who enthuses our meditation. Right? Let us meditate on the worshipable effulgence of the divine sun. Means the sun is source of knowledge. He's source of everything. He's the source of existence. Same time, the worshipable effulgence means that everything, all the good qualities of the Lord are there in the effulgence. And based on that, then they all become the basis for the whole cosmos. The whole creation everywhere is based on Brahman. It's all based on his qualities. Like that. Then so we're working with everything. And so enthuses our meditation may be absorbed in him and perform all our activities in connection with him. Right? Like that. Then the acharya should hand the child a stick. So then a bilva or palash wood and make him dress the stick saying. So footnote 5. Okay. The dandas give. Yes, please.
Excuse me, Maharaj. I have a question. Can we say that this Gayatri Mantra you just told us the meaning? Can we say that this is about Radha and Krishna? Krishna will be the sun, and Radharani will be this worshipful effulgence of the sun.
Yes, yes. No, I mean you're going to have that, but that's going to be the upper level. That's going to be the Bhagawan platform of understanding it. But the point is, it's not that these others don't have meaning, because if this is not appreciated, I mean, if you don't appreciate his effulgence, why would you appreciate him as Bhagawan? You know, so you have to be able to, you can go through, means you can get to that, but it's not that that's the meaning and not this other aspect. Because this is bringing out the aspect of Brahman Paramatma, but at the same time, he is Bhagawan. So if you just go straight for the Bhagawan, that's fine as long as that's your level of realization, then you can focus on that aspect. But otherwise, every time you see the sun, you know, especially in the morning, then you know, this is the eye of the Lord. This is what, you know, from the Lord, you get knowledge from that. From him, everything is established. He's the existence of everything. And may we be inspired, you know, in that. Because when the sun comes out, you're inspired. When the sun doesn't come out, you're not inspired. Right? You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, it's just like India, let's say here in India, you know, your Indians are humble but confident. Right? And so that's a standard human mentality. Well, let's say we go just to pick for just a random example of a place where you hardly ever see the sun, you know, a place like England. Right? And so then there is that they don't have that confidence. They always have, you know, kind of denigrate themselves and everything like that. And even all their humor and everything's based on that. But at the same time, as what confidence they do have is just pure false ego. You know, so you do have the aspect of that enthusiasm has to be based on the sun. You know, so even if you don't have it as devotees, we know that it's there and that aspect is there. So then that's what it is. And then for the individual who appreciates, then the Bhargo is the effulgence. Devasya is then Krishna. Right? That. So Bhargo Devasya, that will be Radharani. Right? And the Savitur then is also going to be the knowledge and all that. She is also all the knowledge. She's all the energies. And we may be enthused in the meditation. So then the whole point is that meditation is service. So how are we going to be enthused? By the grace of the internal potency, then we're enthused in always being absorbed in Krishna. So yes, this is going to be that aspect. But in general, for the brahmacharis, it's going to be, you know, down on this level. You know, does that make sense?
Yes, Maharaj. And this also would mean acquiring taste for spiritual life.
Means you want to do. And so by wanting to do, even if it's intellectual, at some point you become stable in it. Because if you want to, then you're going to be open to removing the doubts. And when you become stable, then with time you're going to develop taste. right? And that's then what you're talking about. Then it becomes very dynamic. Then you move forward very, very nicely. You know, but it has to come from knowledge. It can't come from sentiment. That's why I'm saying if through coming through that path of knowledge, then to taste and then to this appreciation like that of how, you know, everything's coming back from Radharani. So therefore, even the Brahman aspect and all that, it's still Radha and Krishna in an impersonal aspect that that's general. It's there and everything is based on that. There isn't anything else other than them. Then that works nice, but otherwise it just gets into a sentiment and then it's a matter I feel or I don't feel and all those kind of things. And that kind of mentality is not very useful because the point says I feel or I don't feel. Rag means you always feel. It's not a matter of you don't feel. You know, it's your whimsical movement of your emotions is not rag bhakti. It's rag, material rag, yes. You know, because we see in Gita, Krishna also uses rag that way. No, rag, what is it? Raga dvesha bhaya krodha.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Raga dvesha bhaya krodha. So we have to see that it's not going. Otherwise, devotees too easily go to just that other side of it. It's nice, it's inspiring and all that. But at the same time, are they applying that into their life? Are they able to see their life in the context of Krishna consciousness? Because if someone's saying, well, you know, I have a practical life or, you know, the reality of a life living in the material world, and then you have Krishna consciousness, you know, it's two different things. So, you know, sitting down and chanting and having that time, that's really nice, but, you know, all these other things have to be attended to. That means they're not seeing it like this. They don't see how the effulgence of the sun and that and how it's coming from Krishna and how everything's based on that. And so then the higher understanding is that it's all basis. So existence is there. What's the action is there according to what Krishna says, like we saw before, which is the light of the sun, right? So then you're going to be, through that knowledge, you're going to be acting. And so every action is going to be based on what does Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra say that I should do. And then the top point, what you're mentioning here, Radha and Krishna, is that they as a person, you want to please them. So this existence, which is them performing all the activities based on what they say should be done and give example of and give the potency for. For the third level, the Bhagavan level, is to please Krishna. So you have to see all three. So all three are there. And Prabhupada mentions that you go up through this in these stages. We know it's about Krishna because we know it's Krishna. Therefore, our understanding of Brahman is in relationship to Krishna. Our understanding of Paramatma is in relationship to Krishna. Right? So therefore, then, we appreciate and get to the Bhagavan platform. Because you say, oh, it's just, oh, if it's just Brahman, then we're, you know, impersonalists. No, impersonalists don't know Bhagavan. Therefore, their approach to Brahman, they don't understand it in context of Krishna, and they don't continue on the path. They get stuck because they only partially know Brahman, while we actually know Brahman. And so then all these features are there, Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavanichi. So these are how you go through. That's why in the second canto, then it's talking about the universal form. We'll say, oh, but that's a lower level. And where are we? You know? Oh, but that's for converting the materialists, I mean the impersonalists and all that. Nirvishesha shunyavadi paschatya desha tarine. It's right there in the mantra. You know, do we actually understand? Okay, God's a person. We are open to the concept, but then he's a person means you do things the way he likes. No, I do things the way I like. So then are you actually a personalist? So one has to appreciate that you see everything connected to Krishna. I work with whatever I want and what's good for me. But then when I understand what I'm working with is Krishna and the laws governing it are Krishna, and even if I was still knowing that one is still getting good benefits from this, I still have to follow Krishna's laws. I can't do it separately however I feel like. It won't work. So these modern socio-political economic platforms are all atheistic because they don't consider God and his laws. You know, so people can be you know, have faith in God, but they're generally seeing it from the pranamoy, that it's basically that aspect of Paramatma. They're not actually seeing the Bhagavan. You know, it's just that, yeah, he's in control. It's all him. Then they go, okay, but we have to, Manamoy, then we're willing to follow his laws. Then you understand, well, there's the spiritual platform, what's beyond. But it's only the devotional platform, Anandamoy, that you understand that it's about devotion and that reciprocation between the living entity and the Lord. So one's consciousness, one will naturally become aware of these things. Someone very quickly becomes aware of Bhagavan and is able to function, that everything he does is on that platform. That's wonderful. We see that by Prabhupada's association and all the devotees in that 60s and 70s, then just acted just for Krishna. You couldn't explain why. They didn't understand the mechanics of it and all that, but they were functional because of association with the pure devotee. So it says the Uttamadhikari can bring you to that functioning on that platform. The Madhyama can bring you to that platform. The neophyte can give you faith. So in other words, the neophyte could, by preaching, give you faith in the process. He himself, you know, is not going to do much to take you beyond that. The Madhyama, he can take you up to Nishta, right? And the Uttama can take you up to Bhava. So that's how it works. So they're functioning at that. And so if they continue that way, then that's perfect. So devotees were functioning in that way, and it didn't matter because they were just doing it for Bhagavan. They didn't understand the other steps. But the point is they're functioning at the highest level. So then, because there were discrepancies in the secondary aspects, the religious aspects of what they're doing on the secondary religious, not the first primary religious, then, you know, it's not, oh, we have to improve this. But instead of adding in, you know, what is recommended by Prabhupada and the Acharyas, you know, it's what is the secondary and how to support that, then they completely bypass that and just add in what the modern karmis say, and of that, what the left says, which is atheistic, you know, totally. And so then it becomes a very, very, not very developed, you know, so you're dealing with the absolute that is their concept, but not actually really personal. So these are the things that one has to be saved from. So understanding that this aspect of it is the way it is, and as you progress and you understand these other features are there, then it's like a bud, you know. In other words, this is the bud, right? And then it starts to open, and then it's open. So that's the thing: is the bud. It still is the environment in which the Lord, the circumstance in which the Lord performs his pastimes, like that. Is that okay? So one gets the balance, so people don't so quickly go for that.
Yes, Maharaj. So the laziness, we can say, of applying the secondary aspect and filling them up with ready formulas from mundane society, this is our problem, because we know about Radha Krishna, at least theoretically. But
yes,
we're not yet there. So we better try to connect everything and start from where we are to them.
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole point. Aitam says start. One will cross over this insurmountable ocean of neshas by being firmly fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. Right? So, that's the whole thing. That's how you're going to get beyond. So you're crossing over this by being fixed in Krishna, but you have to know that you're crossing over it, not that I'm making a comfortable situation here in the material world. You know, it's like So, people become proud of their particular connections and influence and facilities of the material world. I mean, it's nice if you're using it for Krishna, but on their own, it's not that they're that special. You know? And then which ones do you pick? You can't have everything. Right? So you have to pick which ones apply to you. And then see that it's done. So one then finds that as Prabhupada's talking, all the things are there. The Bhagavan platform includes the other two. But you always have to see them in the context of Bhagavan. But the point is if you just see Bhagavan without the other two, then it's not that's a more advanced position. Because you can say, oh, well, the gopis don't see us. Have you ever noticed the prayers And the discussions between Krishna and the gopis, what are they talking about? When Krishna left the Rasa dance and he went off with Srimati Radharani, and then, when he left because the gopis were catching up, because at one point he gets close. They get close. So he doesn't want to be seen with her, because the whole point of leading with her is to maintain that wonderful level of participation in her devotion. But when the other gopis show up, the problem point he left is that they couldn't appreciate her position of devotion. They were thinking that they themselves as an individual are the most fortunate girls in the universe. And they are, but they're seeing it on their own. They're not seeing in context of following in the footsteps of the gopis, right? So when you say gopi bhava, means you're following the footsteps. Everyone's following the footsteps, right? Even other groups, they're still following, but they're for the lila, it doesn't appear so, but they're still following. Radharani sets the standard. So for those, and we have to remember, the eternal associates don't have this problem, but they go along with the pastime because it's wonderful anyway. But for those who are being trained, those who are coming up, right, in those three groups of gopis, as the acharyas mentioned, right, those from the demigods, those from the personified Vedas, and those from, various groups in human society, then they may have the problems. They advance, and it's so wonderful, and being with Krishna and all that is so wonderful, and it's so fortunate, but they're forgetting it's about Krishna's pleasure, not about your own. So who's worried about Krishna's pleasure, Radharani? So unless they're following in that mood, then how is it going to expand? He's dancing with millions of gopis, but it's like the millions of mustard seeds. You put a million mustard seeds together, how much do you get? A few sacks? Radharani's love for Krishna is like that of Mount Meru. Mount Meru is solid gold. Right, and it goes all the way from the bottom of the universe. All the planetary systems are connected to that, either directly, like Bu on down, or that they are They are connected by the ropes of wind that tie it to Meru, and then Satyaloka. Those four, they're above, but they're in their own category. So everything is connected there. So how big is it? That's Radharani's love. How can you compare that even with, about 10 sacks of mustard seeds? And I'm sure, million mustard seeds is not a 10 sacks. And I'm talking about the sacks, the Indian sacks, those ones that are, this big, like that. It's 100 kilos of rice, that size sack. So it doesn't make any difference. And each individual one, it's like interacting with one mustard seed. That's why the devotees always is dasana, dasana, das. Krishna's interacting with them, getting the full taste. We can add to that. It's just like, let's say you have a nice setting for the table, and everything's, there. And you have a nice napkin, right? The nice napkin is a nice offering. But then let's say we put a napkin ring on that napkin. We add to something that's already there. But now if I have that table and just take off the tablecloth, take away everything, all that is, I have a bare table, and in the middle of the table I put a napkin ring. Are you inspired? Come to dinner, and you get there, there's one napkin ring sitting in the middle of the table. It's kind of like, all right, but you have this whole setting and the napkin's in a nice napkin ring. Then, the detail of everything is so wonderful, right? So that's the whole idea, is that we add to that. So in other words, Mount Meru and a mustard seed. That's why we have zero respect for the Sahajiyas. Their idea is Krishna and a mustard seed. That's why we're not impressed. That's why their path, whatever they do, they have no idea what they're talking about. They just, they're like children playing with what the acharya has given, pontificating this and that. They may know some nice Sanskrit. They may know none of that. They know lots of stories. But it's milk, tusk, light, lips of a serpent. You know, same way the other side, the Mayavadis, the impersonalists, the scholars, you know, it's like that. No, we're in the middle. We're not interested in that. So the point is yes, Rag Bhakti is what we're trying for, but do what gets you there. You know what I'm saying? You know, the girl wants to get married. So does that mean now she goes out and carouses around with the boys and that'll get her married? No, she gets trained and all these different things, knows how to do all her duties, is very good at what she does. Then when she gets married, then family life will go very nicely. She just goes out and hangs out with the boys, then, you know, nothing's going to, no benefit. So the same way is you have to go up through that. That's why the Lord is knowing these three features. And Bhagavan means he includes the other two. Because we constantly say, right? And what we're saying here, Gopi Bartuf Padakamalayor, Dasa Dasana Dasaha. Right? So then the whole point is Krishna, you know, he's existing in brilliance. So this brilliance that we're looking at, he's existing in that because he's in interacting with the devotees. And so therefore he's so happy. He's in that form of ananga. Right? So therefore then there's nothing else to, means that's the pinnacle. Is that he's so absorbed in that, that gives the effulgence. Just like, you know, you have a person and, you know, they're sitting there and they're maybe self-satisfied, but then you do something more and then they're bright and effulgent. They're happy. They become more bright. They're confident. They're bright. So the whole thing is Krishna becomes more sad. He's Atmarama. So that was the whole point with it. We were saying before is that when Krishna comes back from that rasa dance, because he left, because he didn't want the other gopis to become envious and jealous of Radharani. Because if they do, then the whole thing is going down, at least before they're neutral. Now if they become jealous of her, then we're going in the opposite direction. It wants that they should see that she's the best. So then when he leaves, then she goes into separation. Now they've been experiencing separation. But when they see Radharani's separation, they can see that theirs doesn't compare. Again, mustard seed, Mount Meru. Then they mood comes in line. Then they're able to absorb themselves in Krishna, and then Krishna comes back. But then what do they discuss? They discuss the Atmarama, about what's Atmarama? And you know, the different kinds of Atmarama. So that's what I'm saying is people say, oh, the gopis, we're not interested in all that. It's just all the gopi. But the gopis, that's what they're discussing. Uddhava comes, what's he talking about? Now, the point is you can say, oh, but it means this. Yes, the point is, but it also means this other end that they're talking, the situation that they're in, the activities there. Then there's the mood that they have of love, of prema for Krishna. But the point is it's functioning in that environment. Mother Jashoda still cooks in the kitchen in a pot on a fire and stirs it with a spoon. Right? And the fire is burning wood. You know, she doesn't get out her magic wand and then sue you in and then start the fire. No, it means this wood. Right? And so that's the whole point is that she's doing it, but now she's doing it on the platform of prema. We may be doing it on the platform of it's good for our senses, or, you know, it's good for my family, or it's the religious thing to do as I cook and do these things for it. Or it's on the platform of the soul, as I'm beyond this, I'm not this fire, but through that I can perform the duties. If I do them with a detachment, nishkam karma yoga, therefore then I will come to the point of liberation, or I'm doing it to please Krishna. Oh, I want to make some elaborate arrangement for him. He's God, what to do. Or it's just, I want to please him, so I want to make the nicest things I can. So all those are still surrounding cooking. Pot, spoon, fire, under pot, spoon in the top of the pot, right? Pot right side up with a hole up. Things inside the pot, you know, moving them around. Still the same. The technique is the same. They may be better at it. You know, not maybe, they are better at it. But the point is it's still the same thing. So that's the point, is that the worship of effulgence of the sun is that worship of effulgence of the sun, a divine sun, the sun has an effulgence, that effulgence worshipable. So that means everything here is worshipable because it comes from Krishna. But that's because we see it in context of Krishna, so we use it in service to Krishna. If it's our service, we use it. Like you go in the kitchen. What do you use? I'm going to, let's say, make puris. So I'm going to get the wok. I'm going to get the oil. I'm going to get the spoon with all the holes in it. I'm going to get the colander with also the holes in it. You know, and that's what I'm going to use. I'm going to put it on the fire and things like that. Right? But now, if I'm doing, let's say, a salad, I'm not going to use any of those. I might use the colander. I'll put the vegetables and inside there, give them a wash and let them drain. But I won't use the other things. Right? And the guy who's cooking the sabji, he might use the wok, but he won't use that much oil and he won't use the colander. So the point is depending on your service. So the whole world, everything's Krishna, but only what's those elements in this world that are connected with your service to Krishna, the religious element that you're using to serve Krishna, only that you're using in Krishna's service. So yes, you see everything connected, but you only have to see those things are in line with your service. And if they don't, it's just not your service. Even though it's a nice service, it's not your service. You know, it's like you have your plate of halava, and the guy next to you, the brahmachari next to you, he has his plate of halava. But your service is eating your plate, not his plate. It's his service to eat his plate. So even though you're inspired, oh, okay, you also have, you know, and on the other day, yeah, hey, great. We all have halava, right? That, but your service is eating yours. You know, in the association of Vaishnavas, you're eating yours. So in the same way as everything here is Krishna's, but only what's in line with your service to the Lord, that's the thing to look at. Just because it's there doesn't mean that you have to take advantage of it. Right? Means, what's his name? Sukadev Goswami is running down the forest road and he comes across a bunch of young unmarried girls, you know, naked like that. He could stop and go, hey, how you doing? You know, but he doesn't. He just keeps running because it's not his service. It's not that he doesn't know those aren't girls, but it's all Brahmans. But it's just, that's girl Brahman, and he has no service with girl Brahman. And then later, when you see that he comes to the Parikshit Maharaj's, you know, on the bank of the Jamuna, like that. When he's coming in, on one side he's got all the village ladies all seeing his, watching and seeing his beauty and enamored by that, and the other side he has all the village boys just, you know, taunting and joking and laughing and pointing and everything like that. But it doesn't hit because neither of them is for service. But when then Parikshit Maharaj, the sages then all know he wants to hear, and Parikshit Maharaj says, could you please speak on the position of the Lord? Then then that's his service. Then he sits down and talks. So that's the whole thing, is that we may be surrounded. It's like there's money, there's this, there's that, but it's not my money. It's Krishna's money. And so if it hasn't been given to me to use in service, then it's someone else's service. You know, so I see a bag sitting in the middle of the temple and someone forgot it. Now I take it up to the, you know, president's office, the treasurer's office, like that. Because, but it's not my money. It's just Krishna, so I make sure it's protected. But otherwise, if others are taking care, I don't have to take care. So, is that okay, Pandavji? No, Pandav gone.
Yes, Maharaj. Sorry, I could not reach the mic. Yes.
Ah, thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
So then we'll stop here for today. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Shula Prabhupada ki.